Hello, you're listening to the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. Careering into Motherhood began as a Facebook group and has grown into an online community of around 20,000 women who all want to make life as a working mum that little bit easier. And in this podcast, we explore a range of ways to do that, from tips to help you become a more authentic presenter, to changing careers, launching a business, developing your career, single parenting, fitness and well-being, to breastfeeding and the way society treats our bodies once we become mothers. Each episode is a candid interview with different women who share their expertise and experience. And if these kind of topics are your thing, you'll find a huge library of similar resources on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com, where you can also connect with one of our 60 trusted partner coaches who specialise in helping make life as a working mother that little bit easier. That address, once again, is www.careeringintomotherhood.com. Now on to today's interview. My guest today is Lauren Leopold, a senior exec who worked her way up the career ladder, ultimately running digital marketing for one of the UK's biggest high street banks. Lauren's career threatened to come crashing down around her when she was hit hard by burnout. She kept getting promotion after promotion and never really listened to any of the signs telling her she was on the wrong track and in the wrong career. Eventually, realizing it was time to listen to that inner voice, she had a really powerful experience that ultimately led her to try something different. It wasn't a case of just throwing in the towel and immediately launching a hugely successful new venture, leaving her existing business and going off into the sunset, as we'll hear in this very candid interview. Welcome, Lauren. We are going to be talking about all things to do with launching a business. There's so much hype in this area, especially, you know, female founders. How did you get into the space of running your own business?
So firstly, thank you for having me today. Basically worked in corporate marketing for as long as I can remember. I was there for about 15 years in various different kind of like professional services firms, very, very corporate environments, banks, you name it. And I think I'd always... When I first started out in my early 20s, it was very glamorous. I was living in London. I was like living my best life. I did love it. And the money was great. But I started getting towards my 30s and I started having these niggling feelings of like, is this it? Like the novelty had worn off, the glamour had worn off and I was a bit bored. I was just kind of like, is this what I'm going to be doing for the next like 50, 60 years? I was like, I just couldn't see it. But because the money was good, I kept getting promoted. I just sort of ignored it. Oh, no, I went traveling as I sort of find myself. Went around Thailand, Vietnam, Laos, over to Australia, you know, it was amazing. And I came back and it was, you know, exactly the same. You know, nothing had changed really. I mean, I'd had an amazing time, but nothing was different. And in fact, I went back into my job more miserable, really. What I was able to do, though, was it gave me some perspective of maybe I'm not meant to be in this forever. Didn't really listen to it. I just ignored it.
It wasn't really an option in those days. No, I don't mean to make it sound out like it was, you know, 40 years ago. But I did something really similar. And it just wasn't, it didn't occur to me that actually I could step off this rat race.
I never thought about running a business. No one in my family ran a business. None of my friends ran a business. So it just wasn't. It's not that I didn't think it was an option for me. It didn't even occur to me, to use your words. I think so. It was always about changing career, like getting a whole new career or a different job in a different industry.
Which meant you had to retrain.
I was kind of willing to do that. But in itself, I was like, well, I just need to get out of here. So I changed jobs. And it was a little promotion. I think I went from senior executive to manager. And I went to... it was to a recruitment firm, but it was still a corporate environment. And, you know, for the first month or so, it was great, new environment, new people. And then the same thoughts came up again, same thoughts. And I think I was there for about a year. And within that year, I moved around. I had different jobs. I was constantly moving to different jobs, taking on maternity covers and stuff to try and find the thing. But it was just the same thing everywhere I went. I ended.
It's quite depressing, really.
Yeah. When I think back, I'm like, God, because I used to, and to give some context, you know, at the time I was sort of living my best life in London. I was a real party girl. I'd go on these big holidays. So on the outside, everyone was like, oh my God, she's got the best life ever. But inside, yeah, I was living for that weekend. And I was actually probably a bit depressed, quite anxious. But just thought, well, this is it, right? This is what my life's meant to be.
It has to be, yeah.
And I've actually ended up going back to my old firm because they offered me a maternity on a promotion again, more money. And I was like, okay, well, this would be good. And actually, I have to say it was. I was in a different part of the business. I was working for two guys who I got on really well with. And I think maybe because I knew it was for a year, I loved it. It was great. And then they offered me a permanent role and then same feelings came back. It's just, you know, same pattern, same kind of circle. And then I think I might have lasted a couple of years there and then ended up moving to a bank, another big promotion. And again, loved it for a bit. Same thing happened again. Then I moved into a different department, working on more digital stuff. It was really exciting for about 3 months. Same thing happened again. So it was just this cycle. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, and really short stints as well.
And I was beginning to think, like, it's me. Maybe there's something wrong with me. And then one day, quite by chance, although I look back on things and I never think they're chance now, I do think it's like, you know, serendipity or the universe or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And my friend sort of literally dragged me along to this kind of like self-care, self-love workshop in like Hackney Wick or somewhere. And I was just like, and I wasn't into any of this stuff then. And I was like,
I was going to say, for corporate Lauren, that must have been.
Yeah. And the thing was, I was corporate Lauren, but I was also a bit of a party girl. I had always this thought that I wasn't meant to be there. I wasn't your average corporate bear. And I was always getting told that I needed to kind of like flex my style and be more corporate and play the game more. And there was always something inside me going, but I'm not that person. But I played the game for the money and all that kind of stuff. And I basically, looking back, I was just an actress every day. And she dragged me along to this kind of like self-love thing, which I was just like, I don't even know what that is. And I went along with her and it was run by these two amazing coaches who I now know to be very successful coaches. One was a kind of career coach. One was a kind of like love and self-love and dating coach. And in that hour or 2 hours, whatever it was, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. They were just asking questions, like stuff that made me really question myself and go into myself and, you know,
what kind of things?
Just things about like what's important to me and like,
right,
where do I want to be and like, what do I want to be doing when I'm 80 and stuff. And I'd never thought about stuff like that before. I was very much, the first thought I'm going to think is maybe Friday night when I'm going out or August when I'm going to Ibiza,
holiday.
You know, so that was it. Yeah. And it was just eye-opening. And anyway, I came away from it, started following these two coaches. One of whom was a career coach, and I don't know how long later, maybe a month or a couple of months, I decided, sod it, I'm just going to put in a career coaching session with this woman. It was an hour and a half, and I remember like I had to pretend I was going to the dentist because she only had like lunchtime sessions. And I went and met her in this in her office in Shoreditch, and I was like, oh my God, this is really cool. Anyway, long story short, she worked her magic on me, and basically I did a personality test, and she said to me, do you ever get like told that you're like angry or grumpy at work? I was like, yeah, all the time. And she was like, I'm not surprised. She said, you're an ENFP, which if anyone knows about the Myers-Briggs stuff, basically means extroverted. I love freedom. I hate rules. And she was like, and you work in probably one of the most highly regulated environments I've ever seen. She said, like, the way I can imagine it is, she said, imagine you're like a very beautiful tiger prowling around in a cage. That was just the light bulb moment for me. I was like, oh my God, maybe I'm not meant to do this. And that
really
sparked me off on a kind of, you know, some work with her, and I did like a sort of little group program of thinking about things that I could do and really starting to think about, okay, maybe I could try and work for myself one day. But it, I suppose deep down I thought, I'm not sure if this will ever happen, but I was just curious. So I started doing some ideas with her. I did a little bit of social media management because that was what I did. And I also, for a career, I also did I did like dog photography, I think, for about 2 months because I like dogs. I like photography, you know. But it was just what I think, what I'm trying to get across, and I try to get across to my clients, is that finally I was taking action. I think all that time I've been so frustrated and angry with myself because every year I was just turning up and being miserable and doing the same thing. But finally I was trying stuff. So that felt really good. But neither of those things kind of worked out. And it was fine. I was kind of happy with that. But basically things at work had got to a point where I'd got this another promotion And I got promoted into this role, which was on the leadership team. Like, it was a very senior role. And I just got it. And I remember sitting in this first like board type meeting and thinking, what have you done? What are you doing here?
Really?
You don't belong here.
You didn't feel like you'd now kind of come of age and found your place.
It was like, I can only describe it as like they had almost like their hands around my neck. I felt trapped. I felt like I was in too deep. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't want to be there. Mm. I kind of knew I was only there for the money and the prestige. And that, and coupled with a couple of things that were going on in my personal life, I really just started spiraling and into anxiety and a bit of depression. And it culminated in me ending up having a panic attack one day in a really run-of-the-mill meeting at work. It came round to my turn to speak, and my throat closed up. I couldn't breathe, and I just was like, I'm sorry, I need to leave. And I walked out of the office. And my partner, who's now my husband at the time, he was like, I think you need to maybe just ring the doctor and see what happened, you know, because this isn't normal for you. And I told them everything, and they signed me off work for a month. And during that time, I think work were in contact with me quite a lot. I couldn't switch off. I was still, you know, very anxious, and went back a month later and I wasn't fixed. In fact, it was worse. Really? And then the occupation.
Did you have kids at that time?
No, I didn't have kids. Yeah. And this was pre-COVID. So I was lucky in a way that I could just focus on this, but I just wasn't getting any better. And to the point, like, I remember there was one day after I'd been signed off work when I knew I wanted to go to a yoga class, and the yoga class was like 10 minutes from my house, and I couldn't even work out how to get there. Like, I was like, right, well, I'm going to need to put my clothes on. I need to walk down the road. And it was how messed up my head was. It's really weird to think about that now, actually.
Isn't it?
But yeah, so long story short, I ended up, the occupational health were like, right, you need to have more time off work, and work need to not be in contact with you, and you need to be doing some CBT. You really need to maybe doing some coaching to get you, you know, fit and well again. So I was off for another 4 months, I think. And
it must have been so frightening, Lauren.
It was.
Because you've worked kind of all your life in that corporate environment. And even though, as you say, it sounds like you had these sort of niggles and doubts and so on, but then when you reach that role, you get that position, and then for it to affect your physical health.
Yeah, it was terrifying. I just didn't really know what was going on. And I felt a real failure as well, because I could see all my friends, you know, in these roles, and they were all directors and they were all this, that and the other. And I was just like, well, maybe I'm not cut out for this, but then what am I cut out for? And like, I was 38 or 39, and I was like, well, it's too late to do anything different. Like, I'm nearly 40. I want to get married soon. Like, it was all of this stuff, all of this huge pressure. But the CBT therapist and the coaching that I ended up having really helped me see that, like, whether I could see it now or not, this was happening for a reason. Like, my body was trying to give me a sign. And at the time, I couldn't really see it. I can see it now. But at the time, I was like, okay, whatever. So I sort of went with it and did the CBT, did a lot of coaching as to understand, like, what was going on for me. And it really became clear that actually a lot of the reason this had happened is because I've been ignoring those niggling doubts this whole
time. It was
growing in me. Also, the coaching that I'd had really sparked an idea in me. And I was like, my God, like, what if I could do this? Like, people had said to me before, like, you'd make a really good coach. Like, that was one of the things I was good at work, was sort of motivating and coaching my team. And so I just started to, once I felt able to, I started looking into it. And I sort of joined a free coaching weekend course type thing to see if it was for me. And I just loved it. It was literally lit me up like a frigging Christmas tree. And I was like, I'm in. And even though I knew it was going to be really hard to like train on the side of a job, I didn't care. It was the first time I'd ever felt like, oh my God, this is something that I could do. This is something I could
feel something
about. And it wasn't necessarily about starting a business, although I think I always had that in the back of my mind. But I was even just like, I want to do something that makes me feel alive again. I want to learn again. You know, I want to help people going through what I'm going through, you know. So that was what it was. And then very long story short, I set myself a ridiculous goal of qualifying in under a year. It was 9 months I wanted to qualify, and I ended up qualifying in 8 months. I think I was lucky in that I went back and my boundaries are completely different. I was like, I'm going in at 9,
really?
I'm leaving at 5, I'm taking a lunch break. I am what I now know to be quiet quitting. I didn't know that wasn't a thing at the time, but I had checked out. I was still there for my team, I was doing what I needed to do, but you know, my perfectionist tendencies had gone, my desire to get ahead had gone. I was just like, I'm just going to do what I need to do. And I was lucky in a way because we were in lockdown as well. So I didn't have any commuting time. So I was using that to do my studying. I was studying on lunch breaks. I was doing my coaching in the evenings with people because you had to do like free pro bono coaching. I was coaching weekends. So I had no kids. So I was quite lucky that I had the time to be able to dedicate to that. And yeah, I qualified a month early and I was like, right, I'm going to make a go of this. I want to see if I can start a business doing this. And yeah, started charging and it was minimal. Like I was charging like 50 quid for four sessions, but like, because I'd never charged anyone in my entire life, that felt like £1 million for four sessions. And just built up my kind of portfolio and confidence. I mean, I didn't even call it a portfolio in there. It was just like people that wanted to coach with me, you know, but I decided when I wanted to get paying clients, I wasn't on social media, right? I'd kind of come off Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of the things, because they gave me like humongous anxiety. And so when I sort of decided I wanted to get paying clients, I was a bit like, okay, how the hell am I going to do this? And with my coach who I'd employed at the time, we decided, like, right, I'm just going to go out and utilize this incredible network that I've built over the last 15 years. And I sort of put together this really scrappy offer. Like it was bad. It was on like a Word document, full of like coaching jargon, like, you know, help you achieve your goals and all that kind of stuff. But I sent it to all my friends and basically said, look, it's 50 quid because I'm still in training. You know, I've only just got qualified. I'm very new. But in return, I'd like a testimonial and some feedback, please. And within 4 months, I'd got my first six paying clients. And amazing. Bearing in mind, they were 50 quid. They were. And the goal wasn't to make money. The goal was to see if I could charge and if people would pay me. And what then happened is the more people that I work with who were paying me, the more my confidence built and the more I was able to like really hone my craft and create a program and really start to like hone my niche. Because at first I was coaching anyone on anything. And then it started becoming, people came to me for like career stuff, ironically. And I was like, cool, I'll coach you on that. And then it started, and then I started being a bit like, I don't really like helping people getting promoted into jobs because I don't want to do that myself. So then it started being more around career changing, like, you know, do you want to change career? Do you want to, you know, change companies, whatever? So that started being the thing. And then one day somebody came to me and said, can you help me start a business like you've done? And I was like, I guess. Like, I mean, I don't know, sure. Like I can sort of help you do what I've done. And I basically just took them through the process that I'd done, i.e., you know, getting clients without social media, because she was in the same position I was. And that was when that real light bulb moment went off. And I was like, oh my God, maybe this is my thing. Maybe this is what I'm here to help people do, is literally people who've been in my situation who are in a corporate job and they don't, for whatever reason, don't want to be all over social media and don't want work finding out. I can help them do that. And that's what I did. And I helped her do it. And then I sort of packaged it up a little bit more professionally and found someone else and helped her do it. And over time increased my prices. And yeah, that's where this niche that I've got now is basically helping women who are in a sort of professional or corporate role who want to start a business, but kind of feel like they can't be all over social media or they can't let work know.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership programme in 2024. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you. And we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. And as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive. And I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane at careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview. It's really interesting, isn't it? Because you sort of guided by your own experience and, you know, the burnout and so on. So taking, it's sort of you almost unconsciously using all of that experience to guide you to what you do now, because you probably wouldn't, if you hadn't been through that, you wouldn't feel the way you do about social media. I mean, you were right in the digital marketing
space. Yeah, I was head of social media. This is the irony.
And also, you know, you're kind of the end product, the proof to your clients that it can be done.
Yeah.
But even though the way, I mean, there are lots of books, aren't there, all about how to launch a business and so on, which talk about doing exactly what you did, but you almost did it unconsciously. This idea of market testing, seeing what the market will bear in terms of pricing, seeing what the market wants. And this is one of the things that I feel really passionately about. You know, often, especially when we're starting a business, and I do think, especially when we are, as women, we want to start something, we feel very nervous about telling people what it is we're going to do for fear that someone else is going to run off and steal your idea. I would say like 90% of people do not have the desire or what it takes to run a business as it is. If that 10% really, really wants to take your idea and get it out to market before you do, then that means there's a market for it. So throw some competition in there. You know, and it's interesting because the way you've gone about it, you have market tested really thoroughly. I know the way you come across is all very sort of, oh, it was serendipitous and, you know, it sort of just happened. But it's not, Lauren. I mean, I can, anyone listening to you can tell you constantly listen to feedback, both your internal feedback, I guess, in terms of what it is you need, but also this is where I think you're so clever, because you listen to your audience, you listen to your market, and all that testing that's gone on. So one of the other things I want to talk about, because this again is a huge differentiator for you, is you talk so candidly, so honestly about how hard it is to set up a business, but also I remember seeing some of your earliest stuff, which is like, you know, you rip up all of the content about six-figure businesses and, you know, the four-hour work week or whatever it might be. You know, I think that's probably something that's hugely refreshing for your clients. But it can also be, if you're honest about how much hard work it takes, I mean, I'm guessing, how do you, this is where your coaching comes in, is it? You're coaching clients to believe in themselves, but to also test the market and only go after the things that really are going to make you successful in business.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think if someone had told me right at the beginning, right, you're going to do loads of market testing and market research and all this kind of stuff, I'd have been like, oh, no, I'm not. Like, it sounded really formulaic and stuff. But sort of by accident, that's kind of what I did. And I've always done, like, as you say, go for my internal feedback, but also understanding what, you know, people out there are saying by listening to my clients and also what they tell me in like discovery calls and things like that, but also actually going out there and doing market research calls with people. Like, there is, and I'm going to be doing more this week. Like, it's not something you should just do at the beginning. You should always do it. And because it gives you really good ideas. But I think, one of the things that really stops people is fear, right? And that can be fear, like you said, of people stealing my idea, but also fear of selling, fear of charging, fear of it all going wrong, fear of talking about it. People are really scared of like, oh my God, what are people going to say? What, you know, I don't really want to go out and ask my network if they can help me find market research calls, or I don't want to send my offer out to my friends and family, because what will they say? And that's huge. And these are like grown-ass women with kids who are having these like real fearful thoughts and like comparing themselves, like, oh my God, there's already so many coaches on Instagram, there's no point in me starting this business, you know, all of that stuff. So it's not just the practical stuff that I help with, you know, that's you know, almost the easier bit. The harder bit is the mindset, breaking through that fear and pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to do hard things, because you know, most of us haven't been in jobs where we've had to, you know, talk about ourselves and sell ourselves, for want of a better word. And it makes you feel really vulnerable and really scared. So that is a huge...
That's the thing as well. We sort of all put ourselves under this pressure to make it a success from the outset. And I think if you're going out to your network, whether it is or is not on social media, and saying, look, I'm going to do this, and then you end up, I mean, as you've spoken about, Lauren, you changed your path of, you know, who your clients were and what you were doing and how you were doing it. And I think there is a fear about looking silly. And, you know, there's no way the business I started about six, seven years ago, it looks nothing like what I run now.
Yeah.
But, you know, people have a short memory. That's the other thing. No one cares as deeply as you do about your business.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. People are so self-involved with their own lives that they don't care. Most people, I would say the majority of people, when you start talking about your business, they're just happy for you and a little bit jealous.
Yes.
And, oh my God, I could never do that. You know, that's all that is. And I think... anyone, if you do come into contact with people that are like, that doesn't sound like a very good idea, then don't hang around with those people. Go and find a tribe of people that lift you up, whether that's a group coaching program or a like an online networking thing, or just like a bunch of other people on a course you're doing or something that are doing the same thing you are and can lift you up. You know, there are going to be negative people in your life, but just drown them out.
Although I have to challenge on that, because I think some of the most important feedback I've had has been when I've had some negativity and I've looked, so it's just encouraged me to lift the stone and really look underneath it and test that first. And that's not to say that they've always been right, but they also, you know, there are people who haven't been wrong and it has needed a bit more kind of tire kicking and so on.
Yeah.
So,
and I think that's, I think, listening. And to clarify on that point, then I think if the person that you're speaking to is either your ideal client or is already in that world, then listen to them. I've had people who have said to me like, oh, do you really think there's enough people in that niche that want to start a business? And it literally rocked my world. This was someone extremely close to me. And I was like, oh my God. And it made me second guess everything. And then when I spoke to my coach about it, she went, is this girl your ideal client? I was like, no, actually she's in a corporate job and she loves it. She went, so then don't listen to her.
Exactly.
And that's the thing is really question, is this person, you know, is this person your ideal client? And also, are they trying to project their insecurities onto you? Probably yes.
That's so true. That's a good... a good sense check, definitely.
Yeah.
So I'm just conscious of time because we could talk for hours about this. It really is my like pet subject. Where do you see things going next? Are you kind of in a comfortable space? Have you got plans? What does 2024, the rest of the year, kind of hold for you? And also, as a business owner, this is what I'm really interested in. How do you ensure that you yourself are constantly kind of learning? And I mean, we talked about listening to client feedback, but what else are you doing to ensure, you know, that you stay motivated, stay successful?
So I'll answer that bit first, because this is really important. I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm just going to kind of like do a bit of mindset work and then I'll be fixed. And it like could not be further from the truth. Like literally, I have a daily practice of mindset stuff. Like I have a toolkit.
Do you?
Yeah. Every morning I get up and I do meditation. I either do visualizations or tapping or affirmations or something. Some of that kind of more woo-woo stuff that people might not think is great, but it works for me. And I know, because on the days I don't do it, I don't feel very good. And I might do some exercise or whatever, so to really like set me up for the day. And I have to do that on a daily basis, because some days I wake up and I'm not confident and I don't believe in myself and I second guess whether I'm a good coach. Like I still feel like that. And that's also why I have a coach. People say to me like, if you're a coach, can't you just coach yourself? And I'm like, no.
You always
need a coach. So yeah, always that kind of stuff, listening to podcasts, reading books. Like I just it's so important. And sometimes when we're a busy business owner, it can be the first thing to go.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's just something that we really, really need to keep on top of. So that's how I do it. But in terms of the business, so last year was sort of, I would say, going to a different business model. So I've purely been one-to-one coaching up until last year. And last year I launched my group coaching program, Side Hustle Without Social. And which I love and is like kind of like my flagship thing. But this year, as well, I keep getting people coming to me saying, I really want to join your programs, but I don't know what business idea I want to go with yet, or I don't even know what kind of business idea. And I've always wanted to help those people, but I've been very focused. I've been trying to focus on one thing. But this year I'm kind of like, I'm going to do what I say I will teach my clients to do, and I'm going to try something in beta. So I am now doing all the market research and trying things in beta to also to help women who are at that cusp of going, okay, a bit like where I was when I went for that career coaching session of like, okay, I kind of want to do something, but what the hell could it be? And so that's really exciting for me this year, is to
have really exciting
start looking at helping people who are slightly earlier on in that journey as well. So yeah, and that's the thing I think with the businesses or any businesses, you have to keep evolving and listening to your audience. As I say, I had so many, I think I had probably about five or six people towards the back end of last year say that, and I was like, this is a sign. There is something here that people want this. So yeah, I'm just exactly what I teach my clients to do. I'm going to just do it in beta. I'm not going to launch it, because as I say, launching is, I think, puts way too much pressure. I'm just going to try this thing with a few guinea pig people, get their feedback on it, and see what happens. And delve into my Side Hustle Without Social program, because that is, as I say, that's my pride and joy. That's my bread and butter. Yeah. And that's what I love people doing. But if I can help people get ready for that by understanding what business ideas they have and getting them taking action on them, then that's where I want to be going as well.
Amazing. Really exciting. Well, I wish you all the best for the rest of this year and ongoing. No one deserves it more, Lauren. We'll put some links in the show notes where people can find out more about you, but do you want to just tell people as well where they can find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Lauren Leopold the Coach, all one word, and you can find me on LinkedIn, and you can also listen to my podcast on Apple and Spotify, which is called Quits and Giggles, and I basically interview amazing women who have made the leap from side hustler to full-timer, and I'm also starting to interview some amazing guest experts on sort of mindset and money management and all that kind of stuff this year as well, which is really exciting.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, Lauren.
Thank you.
Love Lauren's focus on helping other women who are just feeling unfulfilled by corporate life to start with a side hustle, test the waters, find clients, and really kick the tires to figure out whether leaving that job to run a business is going in the right direction. Lauren's advice, guidance and support is absolutely grounded in realism. And as a business owner myself, I can say I really wish I had someone like Lauren supporting me when I was trying to start a business. She's one of the most straight-talking women you'll meet in this space, that is actually littered with unachievable promises of six-figure revenues and running a business with no stress and on minimal hours. It just doesn't happen like that. Lauren's approach couldn't be more different. And if you're ready to learn what it takes to start a business and have some very straight talking, then do get in touch with her. You'll find all the links in our show notes, and you can also find her on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. I'm Jane Johnson. I'll be back again next week with another brilliant guest. And in the meantime, if you want to find out more about coaching, the support we offer, and the way we can help employers to retain employees going or returning from parental leave, or if you're a coach interested in joining our partnership program, head over to the website www.careeringintomotherhood.com. Thanks for listening, and I'd love it if you could leave a review.